Next Chapter Podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The 500. J.A.M. been walking us down through 2012 edition, so it ain't nothing to you. Hundreds more to go and in need of a friend. The king of fleece for Angelo. Talking the 500 until the end. Talking the 500 until the end. With my man J.A.M. on the 500. Talking the 500 until the end.
The song is Aqualung by Jethro Tull from his record Aqualung from 1971. It's 337 out of 500 on the 500 with Josh Adam Myers. What is up, Fleece Army? All the people that came out to the St. Charles Funny Bone, I can't thank you enough. I love you. But shout out Dave Steiner, man. He opened up to me and said some of the sweetest things ever at one of the shows at St. Charles. I mean this to everybody. To Michael, Anthony, my opener, to all the staff at the St. Charles Funny Bone. You guys were great. I love you. Thank you so much. David, dude, you rule, man. Keep making that art, and I'll keep making this podcast. All right. Join our Patreon. There's a link somewhere to it. You should join it. All right. We got two guests today because we did this one live at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. We have Big Jay Oakerson for the first half, and then we have a surprise. The Sklar Brothers show up midway through. Rate, review, and most importantly, subscribe to the 500 and listen free on all platforms. Follow me at Josh Adam Myers on all social media. JoshAdamMyers.com for tickets, guys. I'll be in Vancouver New Year's Eve. And then Texas in January, and then a bunch of other shit coming up in 2022. I can't believe we're there. 500podcasts@gmail.com is our email. Follow the Facebook group run by Crazy Evan. And for all things 500, go to the website, the500podcast.com. Here we go, y'all. Aqualung. Holy shit. Completely sold out. I can't believe this. This is standing room. Standing room only for Jethro Tull of all albums. I didn't think we would get 700 people in a room this size. Dude, Fleece Army at home, I wish you could see this right now. This is so packed. Everybody here, though, is mute and deaf. So they have no idea what I'm saying. What's up, guys? You guys, everybody looks good. I love the cowboy hats. Fuck yeah, dude. Are you with them? Because you don't fit into that group, dude. You look like the guy, like they're the bukkake. You're the guy masturbating in the corner. Just playing with your fiddle faddle. You know what I'm saying. Danielle, good to see you, darling. Guys, thank you for coming out. This is the 500 Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Adam Myers. If you don't know what this podcast is, I feel like most of you probably do, or you're probably just a fan of Big J. Either way, I don't give a shit. This is I'm doing a podcast. I'm going through Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest albums. We are at number 337. We're skipping ahead a little bit because I wanted to pull out a record. I guess the best way to start this is, like, I always kind of looked at Jethro Tull as a band that I would fucking hate. Right? There's something about the pan flute that sucks balls.
You know, I remember I used to watch those commercials as a little kid where they'd have the pan flute melodies and you'd be like, this is the lamest shit. Oh, there's a band that's their whole thing is pan flute? Well, keep that shit away from me. But being that it's on the list, I was like, well, I have to listen to it. And I gave it at least 7, 8, 9 listens. And before I get into my review of it, I just want to bring up your guest. We do have some special guests that are going to be dropping in as well. I'll just spoil it to you. It's we have Louis C.K. and Bill Cosby coming by. And Bill Cosby. You guys are fucking idiots, by the way. Holy shit, you guys are dumb. You guys are fucking dumb. Did you see that reaction? Dude, they shit themselves. Of course. You weren't clapping for Bill Cosby?
Jethro Tull with the pan flute and doodly.
You fucking lost your shit, but lose your shit for this guest because he's 1/3 of Legion of Skanks. He's 1/2 of the Bonfire, one of my best friends. Give it up for Big J. Okerson, guys. Come on. Sitting on his tin can gang, gang, gang. Fire burning in your hand. Gag, 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 gag. Sold out house, dude.
Hell yeah. Rock and roll.
Dude, you should have seen how she lost it. Her and him fucking shit themselves when I said Louis C.K. They screamed so loud they didn't hear that I said Bill Cosby. I could have said like Timothy McVeigh and you would have been like, fuck yeah! Louis C.K. and the Oklahoma City Bomber?
Oh, man. Louis would have really felt much worse about this audience size than I do. I remember years of this.
It sold out, dude.
Fuck yeah.
I said I only wanted 18 people here. Because I said that's how many people actually know who Jethro Tull is. How many people actually know who Jethro Tull is in here? Really? Who and then, well, I was going to say who listens to the podcast, but I don't want to be that disappointed.
You keep saying it in a certain way that I think, you know that he's not called Jethro Tull, right?
Yeah, of course. I know that.
Okay.
But I know that the band is Ian Anderson.
Yes.
David Goodyear. John O'Hara.
Okay.
Scott Hammond.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Joe Parrish.
Classic Joey. I didn't know any of those other names besides Ian Anderson, but I will tell you this, as the guy was supposed to get the research, it's not a pan flute, he just plays the regular flute.
No, it's a...
He's not a wood nymph.
Are you sure about this? Let me check this out.
A pan flute? He plays the flute. It's on the cover of the album.
Let me check this out right
now. Look
up
Original Masters album. He's holding the flute.
Oh, shit, you're right. But he sticks his leg up in such a dainty way when he plays. It's very pan flute style.
There's no such thing as pan flute style. It's only played by minotaurs and shit.
So, all right, so let's get into this because, so I don't know if you guys, of course, we all know Big J. Okerson. You look at him and you're like, this dude's rock and roll. He's heavy metal. I mean, we're going to see Korn on Tuesday.
It's not wrong.
We're going to see Slipknot on October 10th.
Nice.
We're going to see Billy Joel in November.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen Big J at the goddamn Comedy Jam, you know, Jay, you have probably the most eclectic mix of songs that anybody's done. He's done everything from Pantera to Toto's Africa.
It's true. Baker Street.
He did Baker Street, the most selfless act in goddamn Comedy Jam history. Can you get, okay, what is my sound girl's name? I apologize.
Palmer.
Palmer, can you get the sax solo from Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty? Is that what the band is?
No, that's his name, actually. Jethro Tull's the band name. Jerry Rafferty's a guy.
Well, he did Baker Street, though, right?
Yes.
Give us a little bit of that.
You know the band he was in before he went solo?
Wasn't he in the one Stuck in the Middle with You?
Steeler's Wheel.
Steeler's Wheel. So, yeah, skip ahead just a little bit. Get to this. Hey. Let's just turn the lights off and start fucking at each other, right? This is weird 70s sex music. All right, cut it off. So you've listened, so since I've known you, this is what I love about Jay, is that you have such an eclectic mix of music that you enjoy. One of the styles, and I know if you listen to Bonfire, you obviously know that he is really into like soft 70s rock.
Oh, yeah.
But this, like, I wouldn't even call, like, this is more like progressive. I would call this more.
Jethro Tull?
Jethro Tull 100% is progressive, like, rock and roll. It's so, fucking,
yeah. It's like fable rock.
Yeah, it's very, this is like Quest music.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like if you
I've
have
got
to,
my belongings in a satchel.
Four guys on the trail of tears through the wind and this piss.
A quiver of arrows and a cloak.
Three witches stand still while the guys have such will.
Answer the troll's riddle and cross the bridge.
How'd you get into this?
Jethro Tull?
Yeah, how'd that start?
Oh, it's just a genre, the vibe of the music. It's very, I put this in my category of rock music of songs I want to listen to while I smoke a very small end of a joint with some sort of like the scissors, the hemostats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do that to you. Like, I go, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, yeah. Bro. Yeah.
Stare at this poster with me.
This is definitely blacklight music. This is 100% blacklight Sam Goody poster music.
Yeah, a lot of their songs have train sound effects. This is a very cool 70s vibe. Makes me think of girls with banana titties and Bush.
But how did you get into it? I mean, like...
Banana titties and Bush? probably my mom, honestly. And then she let me, you know, I'd look for her in women's locker rooms and then see the other banana titties and Bushes. It was a time thing.
So what did this, what did the banana titties and Bush...
I was 18, I'm sure things make me think of bald pussies and little perky titties.
So when did banana titties, Bush, and Jethro Tull make their way into your life then?
I'm going to call that about 12, 13 years old, honestly. Yeah, yeah. Also, it's the kind of music, it's so funny to give a real answer after all that titty Bush thing, but this was the kind of music that I'd hear like in the background of life when I'd be with my dad, the little bit that I'd see my dad and hang with him. So I think I listened to this, like this and Bowie were music I listened to because I was like, dad said it was pretty cool, like Pink Floyd.
Yeah, yeah,
shit
yeah.
Shit like that. So those, I got into those for that. And then my mom was just top 40 radio. So I'd go from like Pink Floyd and trying to, you know, listen to those lyrics and then be, I'm burning up, burning up for yellow. And I'm just jamming the boat. I didn't give a shit.
One thing, it's just the pan flute. And then the next thing, it's a sailing. Takes me away to where. This is back of the car music for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of it's back of the car music.
What did your dad do? Because I remember you talk about him, but like.
For a living?
Yeah. Is he a cool guy?
Yeah, he's fine. He's like. He's fine. Yeah, he's a charming dude. Not a great dad, but charming dude. But he tests underground diesel tanks for leaks. Yeah.
That is the most Philadelphia profession I've ever heard in my life.
Weirdly enough, it's what moved him to Ohio. that job. It's like an environmental job. I think it's just like, you know, he doesn't have like a high school diploma, so it's like a grunt job that like that guy can do and survive, I guess. And he'll need a lot of money to live in Canton, Ohio.
No, not at all.
Yeah, every place has fucking 10-cent rib night.
I always say Ohio is just a shittier Pennsylvania.
You're not wrong, dude.
It really is. It's just like everything that is cool about Pennsylvania, Ohio doesn't have. Yeah. But all the things that are shitty about Pennsylvania, yes. Ohio has tenfold.
Yeah. You're going to have rural and no Wawa?
Fuck you. If I can't get an apple fritter at 3 a.m., suck my pan flute.
Fuck you. Suck my pan flute.
What did you connect about this record? I know you said you like the Quest stuff, but this is such an awkward record, especially from, you know, some of the music that I described that
it's
you listen
cool.
to.
It's undeniably cool music.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This album, for sure.
Have you heard anything else by them? Oh,
yeah.
It's garbage.
Really thick as a brick. It really is like fucking fairy music.
Can you get...
I don't mean gay. I mean like people dressed as fairies running around in the wood. It's nonsense music.
Harp, can you get Thick as a Brick by Jethro Tull? I've never heard that song, so I want to hear how that. I want to hear fairy music.
But Aqualung, it's like Cream, like that band. Like, you play that loud out of a window, and even black people are going to be like, all right.
Franklin University makes it possible.
Oh, you didn't? She didn't pay. Dude, the Creek in the Cave doesn't pay for the Spotify premium. Holy shit. You broke motherfuckers. I know the pandemic was hard, but I didn't realize it was not $9.99 a month hard.
Dude, whenever we go to other comedians' houses, and watch something on YouTube and a commercial comes on, you just go, sorry. Ooh,
bad luck, dude.
Oh, sorry, things aren't going good.
Yeah,
dude.
Man.
Yikes. I'll wait 15 seconds. It's fine. I did want to hear about the new Jeep Cherokee.
Here we go.
But your new shoes are worn at the heels, and your suntan was wrapped
Gandalf the Grey. Yeah. There is a fairy up in the clouds, flying high with his emerald eye.
My sword was forged in the fires of hell.
All right, you could. That's pan flute.
It's horrible. That might be pan flute.
That's straight pan flute, dude. Straight PF.
But this album, it's like grungy. It's like dirty sounding. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sludgy. So like that's why I think it's awesome about it.
So for me, kind of, you know, I thought it was all going to be like that. Like whatever we just listened to. Yeah. Right? What's that song called? Hammers and Nails?
Thick as a Brick.
Okay, I was close. I thought it was going to all sound like that. I literally thought this was going to be the Lord of the Rings in musical form. And I avoided it. My whole life. Like, I honest to God, never put on Jethro Tull. And then it was...
Avoid it makes it like you walk into a room and you went, goodbye.
I'm good, nope, I'm out.
No. Josh, please, no. I made a promise to myself. This is what I'm keeping.
When I come back in here, there better be some Wu-Tang playing, okay?
Nope. You guys aren't going to trick me again.
Nope. No, I wouldn't. And it's not even a matter that I disliked that style of music. I just, you know, it's, I just kept like such blinders on and I was like, yeah, it's going to be lame. You know, because I saw Ian in those shots with his leg up playing. That shit's fucking lame, bro. I like rock, dude. Yeah. I like Tommy Lee snorting coke off Nikki Sixx's dick rock.
Do you want, yeah, sure. I mean, really, that's it though?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick. And usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work. But we talk about decidedly not so grown-up things like...
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life. And then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind podcast.
You got to watch anybody remember what the Rolling Stones movie was with all the band, the something circus? It was called Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus, maybe it was called? It's from the 70s, but you watch like their performance now. He was wild, dude. Ian Anderson was like pretty weird and crazy on stage. It was good. He was a good rock star, but you know, you put his leg up and play that flute. But it, for some reason on the Aqualung album, it just works. Like, and it works very well.
And to go off what you're saying, 100%. That was my first impression of this. I mean, right from the first track. I mean, it's just the opening is just, it's such a good riff. Yeah, I mean, listen to this shit, dude. Like, this is how I've been, in a sense, being introduced to the band. And immediately you're like, oh, this is not, I mean, it's mythical, but this quest I want to go on. Take me with
me. This isn't mythical. I think it's about a pedophile.
Yeah, so what do you keep saying that? You keep saying that. So talk about what you actually know, and then I'll give you the real description of what it is.
It says, it describes a creepy guy. I call him Aqualung because he probably breathes like snot is running down. He's down his nose. Five little girls with patterned panties.
Yeah, I mean yeah. These opening lyrics.
I know
here.
What you're thinking, Josh. At least he's not gay. But that's not what you're supposed to say these days. It's 2021, dude.
Sitting on a park bench, eyeing little girls with bad intent, snot running down his nose, greasy.
Bad intents?
Eyeing little girls with bad intent. What did you think it was?
He doesn't say five little girls with patterned panties?
That's coming up.
He does say that.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Oh, God. I was going to say, I'm a pedophile. Plug that in. Please, God, say that he says five girls with patterned panties.
Greasy fingers, smearing shabby clothes. Hey, Aqualung, drying in the cold sun. Here's your line. Watching as the frilly panties run.
That still makes me sound bad. I put a lot on that.
So, yeah, so I guess this is, let me hear, let's read actually what this record is about. All right, so first of all, let me tell you a little bit about, you guys want to know about Jethro Tull before we get into it? I'll give you a little history on Jethro.
It's the name of a farm?
So they're British. That explains everything. They're formed in Blackpool, England in 67. Initially, a blues, rock, and jazz fusion band, they incorporated elements of classical music, hard rock, and folk, and are considered to be one of the first big prog rock bands. Ian Anderson on lead vocals, acoustic guitar, and flutist. Is it flutist or flautist?
Flout.
It is flout. Guys, Louis C.K., he plays the flout. He's the primary composer of Jethro Tull, with the band having numerous members at various points in JT's career. Electric guitarist Martin Barr was the longest serving after Ian. So they had a bunch of success on the club scene. They released their first record in 68 called This Was. After doing some touring and opening for acts like Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin, they released their second record, Stand Up, in 69. Stand Up was their first commercially successful album and leaned more towards folk. This led to their first headlining tour in the United States, which was followed by the recording and release of today's record. So, this came out in 1971. This is the fourth record. It's also the band's best-selling album. It sold over 7 million units worldwide. The success of the album was a seminal moment for the band as they became major radio and touring acts after this release, which is weird because are there any singles? Like, what's the singles off
Aqualung
of this?
And Locomotive.
Now, I don't think Aqualung because of the subject matter. No, here, we'll get to that. Let me finish this, then we'll get to that. So it's recorded in 1970 in London. Features more acoustic material than the previous records. It was the first album from bassist Jeffrey Hammond, who replaced Glenn Cornick, who partied too much for the band as the rest of the members were reclusive.
Damn, it's got to be suck to be the one partier in a band.
I know, dude.
What a shit fucking thing.
You guys want to hit this joint?
Enough, we said things.
No.
Well, you know, it was hilarious. When I was out with Korn, the drummer was new in the band, and he drank a little. Not much, didn't smoke weed. He just drank a little wine was what he drank. But, I mean, how ostracized and alone he was. Like, everybody else is either stone sober or Bible-thumping religious in the band. So he'd walk in, he'd be outside drinking a glass of wine while I was smoking. We'd talk. I go, why? You can't just hang on your bus and smoke? He's like, Bible study going on. There. Like, Bible studies on the bus.
What, like Jonathan Davis is
no,
into, like...
No, the other guy. Like,
yeah,
the,
I don't think...
The bass player.
I don't think Jonathan Davis is a super religious when he's playing out of a Cyclone Titty microphone.
Ah, that's different. That's a that's an H.R. Geiger microphone.
It's true.
Yeah.
Do we all know who H.R. Geiger is? He's the guy that designed the Xenomorph from Alien. One of the greatest franchises of all time. Alien.
I mean, we said it.
You guys.
Three
I was
times. I said it up here three times.
I know. Then they still were like, huh?
The Alien. The guy who made Alien? Aliens.
Like what?
Anaconda?
It was the first time keyboardist John Evan was a full-time member. It was the last album for drummer Clive Bunker, who left the band to start a family shortly after the release. I know, dude. Not to be confused with Clive.
Bunk always wanted to be a family man, though. He held true to his word.
Always. Ian Anderson says his main inspirations for this album were Roy Harper, who's an English folk singer, guitarist, and Bert...
Pedophile? Okay.
And Bert Jonsch, a Scottish folk singer, guitarist. So this was the first Jethro Tull album to reach top 10, in the U.S., peaking at number 7, number 4 in the U.K., received gold status, so that's 1 million sales, approximately 3 months after its release. Let me see if I got... If we get into what Aqualung is, I'll be able to explain more about the pedophile shit. But so what... So, when you listen to this record now... Like, what are your thoughts on it? Like, how do you feel? Like, what does it do for you? Is this something that you listen to a lot?
It's funny enough, it is recently, because Ari Shaffir bought me a record player because he was into records for a minute. And he was like, everyone should be into records. So he got me a record player. And then he took me to a record place so we could go buy records together. It was fun. And one of them was Aqualung I bought. And I put it on when I got home to show Ari that we use the record player. And then that's just the record that's always on there. So when Ari's coming over, I whack go on the machine, and it just starts playing Aqualung again. I've never put a different record on it ever. As we sit here right now, back home in New York, Aqualung is on my record player right now.
Aqualung is ready to go. Aqualung stays ready. all right, well, let's just dive into the record then. So the first track is Aqualung. We already played the opening. I wrote, "This song is awesome until you realize really what it is about." So Ian Anderson, on writing this song, the idea came about from a photograph my wife at the time took of a tramp in London. I had feelings of guilt about the homeless, as well as fear and insecurity with people like that who seem a little scary. And I suppose all of that was combined with slightly romanticized picture of the person who is homeless, but yet a free spirit, who either won't or can't join in society's prescribed formats.
Like not fucking children.
Like not fucking children. So from that photograph and those sentiments, I began writing the words to Aqualung. I can remember sitting in a hotel room in L.A. working out the chord structure for the verses. It's quite a tortured tangle of chords. That's true. But it was meant to really drag you here and there and then set you down into more gentle acoustic section of the song. Now, that is something that I did notice about this opening, is that it comes out, like you said, grungy. But then it does have these like very beautiful moments in it. And it is telling, you know, a fucking... this. I found this to be really interesting. So this wasn't released as a single. Because as Ian explains, it was too long. It was too episodic. It starts off with a loud guitar riff, then goes into a rather more laid-back acoustic stuff. And Led Zeppelin at the time, they didn't release any singles. It was albums, tracks. He went on to say that shorter, more upbeat songs were what stations and labels wanted, and this track really doesn't fit that bill on either account. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, you said this. You thought this was a single.
That's what I have to say about it. I thought it was. You just read a long paragraph that says it's wrong. Like, what are my thoughts on it? I don't know. Then I had bad information. It was on the radio. I always considered that a single.
Well, now it's on the radio.
Right. Sure. It was when it came out, it wasn't. But I heard Locomotive Breath radio first time, Cross-Eyed Mary radio first time, and that's all three on this album.
Now, this is a good song. Hold on. Let me see if I got more stuff on it. The lyrics compare the tramp's unhealthy breathing to deep sea diver sounds, and that's why they refer to the actual Aqualung device. What is an Aqualung? Do you know what it is, or am I going to look it up?
I thought it was a fat person breathing heavy.
That's Does anybody in the audience know what an aqua lung is? What do you think it is?
I know what an
aqua lung is.
Oh!
Oh my God! Joining us, Louis C.K. and Bill Cosby!
All right, they wanted to be touched, okay? Oh, yeah. How bad is it that Bill Cosby sucks so badly, he actually ruined the colorful sweater?
Guys, from Dumb People Town, the one and only Sklar Brothers.
Thank you. Come on, you guys.
All right, what's an aqua lung?
Aqua lung is what you put your dog into when it can't breathe. No, but someone said, Jay, didn't you like work with someone at a gas station who once said that Jethro Tull in concert, he was at a show where Jethro Tull released 100 dogs on stage. Like, what a fucking dumb idea. I don't think it was dogs. I think it was doves, but still, that's close.
Either's dumb.
Either is dumb.
Either is dumb.
Either that's like magician shit to just release doves
Aqualung
into the crowd.
Is a guy who only breathes on water.
So it's a portable breathing apparatus for divers consisting of cylinders of compressed air strapped on the diver's back, feeding air automatically through a mask or mouthpiece.
What does that have to do with a guy jerking off on a park bench?
Well, you guys were actually the two dudes that actually sent me a song by, this is before I was into Jethro Tull.
Oh my
God. So you guys are actually fans.
Well, Josh, you told me, I think it was last time we were in Montreal together at the festival, I said something about doing a Jethro Tull song, and you were like, I never got into them. And I was like, what? I go, not even like the good songs? And he was like,
Locomotive Breath is a great song.
Locomotive Breath, I know because they play that during the funeral scene from Fargo season 2 at the Gerhardt funeral. And I love that show.
Hymn 43 was the song they played.
Hymn 43 is so
good. No, it was Locomotive Breath.
Okay.
But that I didn't. When I was listening to it on this pass, I was like, "Holy shit! I think this is from." Because I was just rewatching Fargo during the pandemic.
Damn, what a millennial thing to think.
Well, no, I said.
Oh, I know that song. It's from the show Fargo.
Exactly.
No,
not the movie Fargo. The show Fargo,
based on the movie, based on a book. No one cool until now. Like, ever really introduced me to the band. So I just never
sent you Hymn 43, and I was like, this song is a banger.
I listened to it.
It's on this.
On this, and I listened to it, and I liked it, but I just...
Can we play it? Can we play a little bit?
All right, let's get... Harper, play a little bit of Hymn 43.
It's such a banger.
Play it here. Actually, do this, because I got the time code that I won't play. Play...
Where is it?
Oh, perfect. Play... No, just play some of it.
Can
I didn't actually
watch you go through your emails, Josh?
Then we can watch you reorganize your sock drawer here at the festival. This shit fucking slaps, dude. Dude, you gotta see this Fleece Army at home. Everybody's dancing. They're making out. Titties just came out.
Guys, easy. There's regulations. The fire marshal's gonna come. Please.
So wait, how did you guys get into Jethro Tull? And then this record.
We're of the age where Aqualung was always a song that was in the top 10 songs of the top 500 classic rock songs that were counted down every Memorial Day weekend. What better way?
So we
what better way to honor all the troops that have died than to on Memorial Day than a guy jerking off on a park bench to an underage girl? So. No,
they were underage, right?
Underage girls.
Okay, good. But I keep thinking I'm projecting pedophile onto this guy.
No, you were right. You were dead right. So we had this great classic rock station in St. Louis called KSHE 95. We used to do an old bit about it. KSHE 95.
We're gonna tell your boss to fuck off,
and then we're gonna and then we're gonna tell him it's from you
because it's the weekend all weekend long.
The fuck. So it's. That station was like what we listened to, like as kids, and so we just listened to classic rock all the time, and we grew up on that. And you know, Jethro Tull was like in the mix of
Jethro Tull. How baller was it that they were like, "We're going to be a rock band, but our featured solo instrument is a flute."
Flute. It's like saying, we're going to be a heavy metal band, but we're going to do a triangle solo. Are we cool with that?
And I mean, it worked.
But that's what Metallica did when they went the full orchestra. That's right. Like, you know what would really turn up Master of Puppets? A piccolo.
If you watch that Rolling Stones rock and roll circus thing, though, he plays the flute like he's shredding a guitar solo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He like turns his head sideways and goes, it's wacky.
God, I wish we had a projector right now so we could just watch an extended flute solo.
No, it's like Todd Berry's old bit about, what did he have, like Guns N' Roses?
Guns N' Roses added an orchestra, and the orchestra had sheet music.
He's like, yeah, this is the orchestra.
The orchestra needs sheet music for this song. Wait a second, it's A, and then it's all the way over to C, and then it's back to A again, page turn. Todd Berry.
Great Todd Berry bit.
So this is in your repertoire of music. This is something that you listen to all the time.
So Locomotive Breath was a song that we heard a lot growing.
Aqualung 2 was a song that we heard.
But Locomotive
Breath. But then Bungle in the Jungle, The Teacher, all these songs were like, that came from another, like the greatest hits. Like those are great. Slip Sliding Away, or Skating Away. Skating Away.
That falls into the wood nymph shit, though.
Yeah, no, very it's definitely wood nymph. Very
skating away on the thin ice of a new day.
But let's talk about just the title track. Is that what we were on right there? Which is Aqualung. So this is about basically a pedophile. So right. I wanted to ask you guys, being that you're both St. Louis, Philadelphia, and I'm from Baltimore, D.C. area, have you guys ever, did you have like an Aqualung type character in your neighborhoods? Lives.
No, actually the guy who did creepy pedo shit in my neighborhood was well received. Just a really like when he finally went down, people were almost like, ah, come on. The guy didn't force anyone to do anything. He just offered a couple bucks.
His lawn
Uncle
is
Eddie.
Nice.
It was a big story. Remember Uncle Eddie?
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania?
Philadelphia.
Uncle Eddie was the guy that he would buy your underwear.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could go to his place and pee and shit in front of him. He'd give you a certain money for that. And he'd ask you if you would do gay sexual stuff with him. And if you said no, he would just give you your money and you'd be on your way. That's people so used nice. It like an ATM.
Yeah.
Look, you guys want to go to the mall or whatever? He goes, yeah, well, let's go. I'll go quick whack off in front of Eddie. He'll give us $100.
I got to make a deposit.
Yeah. People were very upset when he got arrested. I never had the pleasure. Weirdly enough, not confident enough, thought he wouldn't want me.
Jay, geez. Come on, man. Don't sell yourself short, dude. So well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen?
Like, who wants these
I can't
underwear?
Believe we got him here. Uncle give it up for Uncle Eddie!
Uncle Eddie!
Gang, gang, get it, man. Gang, gang. Waka, 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 waka. Gang, gang, gang. What about you guys?
So we had a history teacher.
Mr. Can we say it?
I don't think you can.
I think we can.
You do not want to get sued.
I don't care.
I think this guy, he used to like, I mean, every time you'd see him in the hallway, there'd be like, first of all, he was like the coach of the water polo team.
The boys' water polo team.
I was like, you've never been in a pool in your life, okay? You're just around boys and Speedos.
Number two, every book report was a one-on-one book report with him.
Guys. And he just, you'd see him in the hallway and he'd have his like hand on the back of like a boy's head and like pulling him down towards him. And we're just like,
wait, I don't want to do an oral book report.
I don't want to do anything oral with you.
Hurry up, boys. I'm coaching boy soup in a little bit.
It's like, you don't want to coach the women's volleyball team? And he's like, no way.
No, absolutely not.
So,
ew. I think, he says ew.
Gross.
Ew. Gross.
Disgusting.
He literally said gross.
So I think that guy was like a teacher at our school. And he kind of like was kind of hiding in plain sight. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, it's amazing that no one said anything. I feel like, but back then they would. Like today, you would just be like, yeah.
He's that guy. 100%. Get him out.
Fucking wimps.
Yeah.
There was a guy that was a teacher at my mom's elementary school, Ronald McNair. And he was, he wasn't like creepy. He was just like a really good teacher. And then I remember he also became like the camp counselor during the summer, like the lead director of this camp that I worked at. And then, but there was something off about him.
Yep.
He was just really good with the kids.
Really good.
And then he got busted. He got busted like basically peeking into bathroom like like holes or whatever while at a, like a baseball game at like the Frederick Keys, which is not even, it's not even like MLB. He's doing this at Triple A.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could get away with that shit.
That's right.
And he got arrested. His dad was like the sheriff or like the head guy of the police. There was a whole thing in our town. Now, but I never had, you know, it was, we didn't have like an Uncle Eddie. We didn't have like
Mr. I can't say his name because you want to say his name for sure?
I don't know.
Go for it.
No.
Go for it.
I mean, look at the live audience. How many people you think are listening at home?
Mr. Blaha.
Mr. There Blaha was his name. Rick Blaha.
Dude, that broke my heart.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry
kidding.
That Spotify dropped the show.
No, stop it.
Stop.
You're beautiful and you're great.
You are.
Yeah, this is a joy.
I thought we were having a good ham it up at the crowd.
Yeah, come on. Ramping them up.
No, that's fine. I do. We're completely sold out right now. That's why we put it that way.
We
right.
laugh.
Well,
we
except
laugh.
For the arrest. It got a little violent here a bit ago when we were playing Hymn 43.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Andy DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon.
So what stands out to you more about this record, guys? Is it the lyrics or the music? Like, what is what's drawing you in?
Music to me.
The music.
So I think it's the music. But when they set out to do Aqualung, it was that era of classic rock where they were like, we're gonna make an opus. We're gonna make how long is it? 6:30.
Yeah, they were gonna do like 3 parts to this song. So there's like a weird thing where we're gonna record the vocals basically in a conch shell. And that's the beginning.
Which was like a precursor to like the Strokes. Like it was very much like very processed vocals.
Julian Casablancas paying close attention to what he's doing.
How long's the track?
The Aqualung?
Yeah.
6:30?
I say 5:41.
Wait, what do you got?
I say 6:30. He says 5:41.
How long do you think it is?
$1.
It's Jay was right. It's 6:34.
Wow. So pretty close. Yeah, so, you know, obviously, like, that was a time when they're like, we don't care that we're doing a 6-minute song, 6.5-minute song. You're going to play it on the radio because
but there were so many movements on the song. So at the beginning, you've got the beginning, and then it, like, picks up this weird thing where he's like, do you still remember a December's foggy freeze? And he's like, goes into this other, like, part
that's
of the song.
That's such a beautiful part of the song, it's too. So it really is.
So
and then it comes.
It's all like an old Jewish song.
It's like, yay, diddle die.
Sunrise.
We're suddenly, I mean, it literally sounds like the end of Yom Kippur services. And so like he had all these like movements in it, and you could do that in a song. It was kind of like that great time in the 70s when there were like people making movies the way they wanted to make them and music the way they wanted to make them, and just kind of they were auteurs, so to speak. And that's what turned me on about this.
Yeah, I think this is, I think the length of this song, and I also think the subject matter is why at the time that it probably wasn't a radio hit. But I can see why now, you know, 2030, I mean, this came out fucking in 19.
Dude, but I'm telling you, in the early 80s, so this came out like in 70 what?
71.
71. So in the early 80s, 10 years later, this was the song that was on the list. Like
classic
said,
rock, yeah.
Every Memorial Day, they do the top 500 songs, and it was like, you know, it'd be a Who song, it would be Layla, it'd be this song.
Yeah.
And like all those songs would be the top 10.
Yeah, you know, 100%.
Like always playing in a mechanic's garage.
This is definitely carburetor music.
So come back in like 2 days when it's ready.
This is wiping oil off an auto part music.
That's right.
All right, let's move on to let's talk about Cross-Eyed Mary, because this is another great song on the record. Yeah. This is probably one of my favorites, if not my favorite song. This has, so after a dope pan flute solo, this shit kicks in. Harper, play 1 minute in on Cross-Eyed Mary.
Yeah. Did you call her Harper?
Yeah, wasn't
Palmer.
It?
Palmer.
Palmer.
Palmer. Palmer.
I love the fucking organ on this, dude.
That also references Aqualung in this song.
Yeah. So, all right, kill it. So, this song is about a schoolgirl prostitute who prefers the company of dirty old men over her schoolmates. It was intended as a companion piece to Aqualung, and the Aqualung character is given a cameo in the track, in the lyrics. Cameo.
Maybe her attention.
He flashes his dick to everyone. Gets no kicks from little boys, would rather make it with a leching gray, or maybe her attention is drawn by Aqualung, who watches through the railings as they play, just like the dude
in
my
your
school,
Mr. McNair. But I'll say this, I can't believe Aqualung's on Cameo with Rudy Giuliani. That's amazing. You can ask him to deliver a birthday
for 50
message.
For
like, have a great company retreat.
thoughts on this song, guys. What are your thoughts on Cross-Eyed Mary?
It's a banger. It's rock and roll. It's so good. It's like
the beat is driving, the lyrics are good, and I mean, to me, I get off on like bands and artists. Like, it's like you go watch Big J. Okerson do a set of comedy like right now in his career when he's on fire, super confident, just kicks ass, and the audience loves it. You're watching someone in their fucking prime just delivering it. That's where he is, Jethro Tull. That's where Ian Anderson is in this moment. He's in his fucking prime, and he's delivering things at the highest level. And so, like, a song like this represents that. You know what I mean?
It's true.
No, but don't you love that? You know what I mean?
Thank you.
That's 100%.
Facts. Facts. Facts.
Facts. What do you got, Jay?
Yeah, that made me feel like the retarded girl prostitute in my school.
That's right.
Aww. Let me be your Aqualung. Dee, 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 dee.
What cool.
This song, what I love about this song, I'm a big fan of any, I like a big buildup in the beginning. That's why I said Locomotive Breath has the piano.
Yes.
That like slow growing piano. Like Killers by Iron Maiden was always another one. Like the buildup to that is such like a fucking, just like you see an arena, like how this opens up a show, you know, and everyone goes fucking nuts. And the way that, Cross-Eyed Mary, I'm trying to think what the first, when it kicks in.
Play the,
first part.
Play like, yeah, play like 40, go to 45 seconds of Cross-Eyed Mary, harp.
Palm.
It's Palmer. Fuck.
Palm.
Palm.
Harp. Go to like 45 seconds. We get a little bit of that pan flute when it kicks in. Laughing in the playground.
Gets no kiss. No,
it's
before
the same. This. Before this, like 45 seconds. Go to about 30 seconds.
Go to the song before it, folks. Yes. Yes. So good.
Straight pan flute. This P.F. Chang's, dude.
What's that?
This is, you know what this album reminds me of? Like Tool.
Really?
Like, I can see a lot of Tool coming from this record.
Also, again, long songs.
Long, you know.
Like that become musically different throughout the song.
Throughout the whole song, the drummer's good, the instrumentation, everything about this is just reminds me of Tool.
There's a little David Bowie, like rocking Bowie, like glam Bowie in the voice.
Yeah,
like,
oh,
you
for
feel
sure.
That and that of that era, obviously.
So you mentioned Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden covered this song and released it as a B-side to their single, The Trooper.
Wow.
Oh, really?
So yeah, and I definitely, Iron Maiden is just a much more heavier version of
Jethro Tull.
Oh, yeah. All right, so Cheap Day Return. I don't really want to talk about that much, but all I wrote about it was, this is a Hobbit in a song. Mm-hmm. Play 34 seconds into Cheap Day Return.
Thanks, Bob.
Come on, Bob. We got a commercial?
So good.
Brush away the cigarette ash.
All right, kill that.
What is this fucking Cat Stevens? It's so good.
I love Cat Stevens. For some reason, this is just like one of those Robin Hood tights.
It's right. So prance around the old bog with that one.
All right, then you got Wandering Around. No, actually, I skipped over one. No, you know, I was writing a Mother Goose and Wandering Aloud and Up to Me, which has, in my opinion, the best riff on the record. Play a minute and 25 of Up to Me.
Thank you, Palmer.
Thank you, Palmer.
Yeah, this is fucking great. All right, let's get to. I was gonna say the next one. My God, has the best pan flute solo on the record, and you can hear. All right, play that because this you can literally hear his rock breath. Play 3:26 of My God. And this is straight Quest music.
Let's hear it.
You gotta make a fucking stink face on it.
You can hear the.
Dude, like 12 grasshoppers were killed to make this track.
All right.
So can we just.
There was
say,
so much spit flying out of the back of that thing. I mean, just when he cried like this, it just leaked out.
Like a. Just a gusher.
Just gunk.
Just
gunked up.
So how good is
Gush.
How good is Jethro Tull in Anchorman, perhaps one of the funniest movies of all time? His flute solo in the middle. Hey, Aqualung. Hilarious and amazing. And you're like, Adam McKay doesn't and Will Ferrell don't choose to do that unless, number one, they fucking love it. And number two, it lands as a joke. It's just brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're 100%. Totally. All right, Hymn 43. This
the
is
best song.
Definitely the most accessible song on the record.
Also probably one of the best riffs.
Second of two singles released from the album, released 3 months apart. First single to chart in the United States, number 91, with Billboard Hot 100. Anderson described this track as a blues for Jesus about the gory glory seekers who use his name as an excuse for a lot of unsavory things. And this is actually one of the only tracks from the band that was downloadable on your fucking game, Rock Band 2.
Ooh, there we go.
I was a Guitar Hero guy. They're playing.
Fair.
Thoughts on this song? Why do you guys love it so much? Like, what's... tell me.
It's like it's such like a great 70s rock. It's just like what takes you to a time and place. Do you know what I mean? Or more like envy a time that I wasn't there for.
You know
what I mean? Sucking on chili dogs outside the Tasty Freeze.
It puts a funk stank on rock and roll, and that to me like combines into something with like vocals first that makes you go get up and like dance.
And I'll say this: I came to this song much later in life, like way later after Aqualung. So like, I heard this song. I'm like, what the fuck? Where is it? What? How did I not know this song?
Didn't get a ton of radio play in St. Louis. And so then I started listening to it. And I'm like, oh, this is maybe my favorite Jethro Tull song ever. It's so good. It just is like, it's powerful. It's like him just like the flute is his cock and he's waving it around. It's just fucking great.
Cock flute.
Cock flute.
Cock. cock flute. And then my favorite song on the record. I mean, there's so much I like, but I really just I find Locomotive Breath
it's the best.
The one that I constantly like. You know what I'm saying? Like you'll get that. So you listen to a record, you listen to one song over and over and over again. I probably listen to this song 30 or 40 times. It's I love the build.
The
dude,
build. Jay talked about it. That piano thing in the build in the beginning is like. It's if you've ever been on a train anywhere, if you've ever been to like the fucking train out to Long Island and you're sitting in like the Jamaica thing and there's just stuff's just waiting around and waiting around. You see the yard and it's just kind of nothing's really happening. And then it just starts to fucking go. That's exactly what it is. You're like, man,
and then they get in the song and it's like he's almost riding the wave of the song that he created with his vocals and it's so killer in the moment. So our friends are the freaking our friends have the greatest thing in the world. I wish you were out in LA when this happened, but for our birthday we've always done this and Josh is
oh, yeah.
too. So our friends have a karaoke RV. It's the greatest fucking thing in the world. So they're the best people in the world. They're beautiful. Kestrin Pantera and Jonathan Grubb, they're amazing. Married couple. They have a karaoke RV, and they'll like park it somewhere, and then we'll just invite all our friends to come out, and for our birthday, we'll just do a ton of fucking drugs and then go like sing songs all night long.
Dude, last time we did PCP. It was incredible.
Stops of heroin between our toes.
Angel dust.
Guys.
We butt chug NyQuil.
It was so good. So tons of scissor, and then we just... So Jay and I did we've done Locomotive Breath on the RV. RV, and it is so good. And our friend comes out with this like glow stick fake flute, and he does like the flute John Bernstein behind us.
Really?
Like, solo. It's a banger in front of people too. So incredible.
All right, play. I think because I just wrote this is a perfect song, and then in big letters I just wrote perfect. Play a minute and 20 in Locomotive Breath.
Man, so good. Thanks. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Palmer.
Thanks for being right on.
Love you,
Thanks
Palmer.
For not being Harper.
I hate Harper.
Crank this all the way.
In the shuffling madness of the locomotive breath runs the all-time loser headlong to his death.
All right, now turn this down. Do you guys hear It's Raining Men in this?
Yes. A little, yes.
Do you hear It's Raining Men?
Yes.
Get It's Raining Men ready right now, Pop.
I think this is a phenomenal song. You can turn it off now, though.
I do try this one. I love the lyrics to this song.
Oh, that song.
Picks up Gideon's Bible, yeah. Open to page one.
Oh, for the God. First time in history, it's gonna start raining men. Oh, locomotive breath. Hallelujah, it's locomotive breath.
I'm gonna get a pedophile.
Absolutely pedophile. God made Mother Nature.
It's so good.
To slow down.
Styx covered this in 2005 on the record Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. Yep. This is the most played song at Jethro Tull concerts, usually leading off the encore. I mean, could you imagine how fucking you've been waiting for it the whole show?
Imagine what you've been waiting through also. A lot of fucking... I mean, Ian Anderson's one of those guys where he's like, well, I'm going to do the whole new album first.
No, right. No need.
Oh.
Or Ian Anderson also feels like a guy that when there's a tragedy, he'll just write a bunch of music about it and start playing. And we're like, hey, man, you can workshop that. You know what I mean? It's like when there's a hurricane and Neil Young writes a bunch of songs about it. We're like, dude, just workshop it. We don't need to hear the story about the town where the levee broke. All right.
So let me ask you guys this, because Jethro Tull claims that this isn't a concept record. Mm. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
But a lot of critics and fans insist that it is. What do you guys think?
I thought it was.
No?
I don't know. I can see the argument both ways, but they definitely were writing from a perspective in this moment, and all the songs kind of came from the same place. Like, once you see Aqualung pop up in Cross-Eyed Mary, you're like, oh, there's a little thing right there. But if it would have to get pulled through another song. So I think there are some companion songs in here, but I think overall he's writing from a certain place, and this is where you are. And so it's not a concept album, but it fits very nicely together.
I think, not to cut you off, but I think musically this is a concept record. Right, I don't so think lyrically.
I was
going to
say that because the song, what it reminds me of is, you know, like The Wall, which is a concept album, obviously. Sure. But like The Wall, like the musical version of We Don't Need No Education is slowed down, sped up, and played in almost every one of the songs.
Yeah.
Like, what was it, Zone Fan?
So I love.
Try to remember, the song I'm thinking of where it's like they have like the we don't need no education, like it comes up all through that album. Yes. So I think this song, like Locomotive Breath, reminds me a lot of
Cross
of Aqualung. You know, it was and Locomotive Breath cross over to me in the sound of them. In that kind of way.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.
Now, first of all, this is the other thing, too, that I've been picking up on, and I want to see what you guys think, is, like, do you feel this album has more of, like, an anti-authority vibe or a Christian hypocrisy vibe? Mm.
God damn. That's a great question.
Bill, do you want to go first, Mr. Cosby?
Listen, I believe...
No.
Aqualung.
I think probably more of an anti-authority. I don't know. God, man, that's such a hard question, because if you make the church the authority, then it's kind of both, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of cheat. You kill two birds with one. You kill two messiahs with one cross.
This album, to me, is about losers and just people who are on the outskirts and can't, like, get right. That's just what it feels like. It's like an album about all of them. If you were to, in the same way that, not to get too deep, that the show Transparent is about every different version of a gay person, like every different type of person in that whole, on that whole spectrum, I think that's what this is. This is a spectrum of losers and how they deal with their life. So you can't say this is a redemption album that we should take, all losers are going to be redeemed here, but it does feel like you're talking about them across an entire spectrum, and some are redeemable and some aren't.
Yeah.
It makes me want to smoke pot with hemostat scissors.
All right.
Can I say that? It's probably the pot.
Yep. Sure.
What drug best accompanies this album? What do you think? You guys think it's smoking middies out of like a Coke can, doing some Coke through some weird, crazy, mythical straw, good old-fashioned LSD, or my personal favorite, 3 perk 30s and a bump of ketamine.
Wow.
Like a mescaline. I think it's a weed. In a goofy way, the scissors, poke holes in a Coke can.
Yeah.
Absolutely works, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
Apple. Jeez. Apple.
Apple. Apple pipe.
I still make an apple bowl. Every hotel that I go to that has apples in the front desk, I grab two. One's becoming a bowl. The other one,
you're sticking
I'm
your
eat
dick
when
in.
I didn't think I wanted an apple in the middle of the night after I smoke pot.
That's right.
What about
an
you?
Apple here.
What about you guys?
I would say drunk. Like this feels like getting a little drunk and getting a little rowdy.
Off ale.
Yeah. Like flat British ale. I don't know. A warm pint of Directors.
This to me is a jittery album. Like, I think you're on cocaine or you're definitely on like speed or something. Like, you're just kind of like ready to fucking... I don't know.
And that's why I don't think I could listen to this on psychedelics. Like,
Him 43 seems like a very big... That's a coke.
This whole record, I think it would... You know, I don't want to say it would freak me out, but I just know that Because maybe you could trip to this record because it comes out hard at certain points, but then right when you start feeling like it's going to get too crazy and you might have like a bad trip, it brings you down.
That's
and
right.
I remember taking LSD once and my buddies were listening to Wu-Tang and I was like, you got to turn this off. And then they put on Radiohead OK Computer and I was like, oh, okay, it's a lot sweet. Even though the lyrics in the Radiohead record are even scarier than Wu-Tang. It's all about being alone. It's all about... you know, like electronics taking over, shit like that. So I would say, which is what happened.
Yeah.
But I would say definitely if it was up to me, I'd say 3 Perc 30s and a bump of Cat Tranquilizer.
Wow.
Am I right?
Yes, folks.
All right. Favorite.
She really looked at you. She was like, you serious?
Favorite guitar lick on this record?
Oh.
Jay, what do you think? Oakerson.
It's the classic Aqualung.
Yeah.
I mean, the opening riff of the whole album is the...
To me, I just love, and I know it's just like almost like a muted, almost like the guitar is not turned on, but locomotive breath, like... It sounds like a motion of a locomotive.
It really
thing.
Does,
like,
yeah.
To me, like that just gets me going.
No, yeah. It really does.
I think so, too.
It's like not a guitar solo. It's just like the rhythm of what
it's
it is.
It's a driving guitar.
Driving force.
So do you guys think that this, if you compare, this is such a weird question, but Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train is kind of a spiritual successor to Locomotive Breath?
Mm. Yeah.
I guess so. Crazy Train to me is just more like... Like, Locomotive Breath is like, I got nothing to lose, and this is what's going on, and this train's going to fucking destroy everything in front of me.
Well, look, if you want to actually show the difference, is that Locomotive Breath, the guy is on the train, and it's going to Shitsville for him, you know? And Crazy Train is, we're off the rails, and we don't know where we're going.
And it seems more fun. Like, yeah,
Crazy Train's also, I mean, that's like a pop rock.
Yeah.
That was his attempt at like getting something popular on the radio.
Right.
It wasn't even like Ozzy's heart. Like, Locomotive Breath's like a fucking, a blood and guts song. I don't think Crazy Train was the song.
Locomotive Breath comes from your heart and like deep in the pit of your soul, and Crazy Train comes from your dick. So that's
right.
How I would describe it.
Right 100%. From the middle of your dick.
Yeah.
I will say for the record that my favorite Jethro Tull guitar riff of all is The Teacher.
The Teacher is so good.
All right, so some random facts about this record. This album, I don't know if you guys know, but they released a new Rolling Stone magazine list of the 500 greatest albums in September of 2020.
Yep.
This did not
make the list.
Make the list.
Wow.
For the 2020 version.
Really?
Let's think what albums beat it out.
If you looked
Rita
at the
list, yeah. I'll accept that.
Yeah.
If you see that list, they made it for an audience that does not read Rolling Stone.
That's right.
I mean, right. There's every Drake album's on there. Sure. And listen,
In stewing and shit like that, if I were Jethro Tull, I'd want to know, do they know who took the place where their album was?
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
So
the real McCoy.
I mean, I'd have to look it up. Hold on.
Another night.
Let me check.
Always you. Love the vision of love. The clean signature. Oh, you know what? It's everywhere.
Okay. Again.
Greatest records.
We get nothing like going through a Google search on a podcast.
Dude, usually I have a guy. The new list coming in at this number was Stevie Wonder, Music of My Mind.
It's good.
It's not so.
Fair.
Oh, wait. No, actually, here, I got it right here because that was
Sugar
at 350.
Ray.
That was, Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
Oh, stop it. Fair. Totally fair. Totally fair.
No.
At number 337
was
Bob Dylan, John Wesley Harding.
Dude, that's...
But then this is what's crazy looking at this new list.
There better be higher Bob Dylan albums up that ladder.
Brian Eno, Another Green World, which is on the 2012 list, the one that I'm working off of, which was in like the 400s, moved down to 338. It just doesn't make sense. Like that this new... I mean, if you guys saw, they also released the 500 Greatest Songs. Mm-hmm. And in number 7, and me and Wayne Fetterman talked about this for like 20 minutes, was Get Your Freak On by Missy Elliott. In number 7.
It's a good song, but it is not number 7. And by the way, I'm not a person who's like, the only good songs have to be made 40 years ago. I do believe that great songs have been made more recently, but that song, a great song should not be number seven.
No, I don't agree. Also, if you listen to this record on Spotify, Dark Lord Spotify, they at the end, the final track, they have basically an interview with Ian, and he goes through the whole record, and what amazing. He explains is that while they were recording this record, he was like, we thought this was going to be a mess. Because the production, he was like, until it got to the mixing, like the mixing, whoever mixed this record saved this album. Because Ian was literally like, I feel like we're just wasting our time. Because they were recording it, They're also recording it in the new studios of Island Records in London. Led Zeppelin was down the hall recording their fourth record at the same time. Could you imagine how fucking cool that would have been? Incredible. And then they walk by.
And there's also some guy who was just like, you know, answering the phones and stuff. Hey, Mr. Blaine, you have a call on line one.
Here's your new flute, Mr. Ian.
I cleaned all the spit out of your flute.
It was quite gunky.
There's a lot of gunk in there.
What'd you have for lunch? It was really stuck in there. What was that, corned beef and cabbage? Believe it or not, the two studios at the horrible, cold, echoey facilities, according to Ian Anderson, Jethro Tull got the larger studio of the two.
Boom.
And he's originally the main body of a church that was converted into a recording studio, amazing. Which actually makes perfect sense.
Yeah, totally.
Ian says this about it being a concept record. He said, I always said at the time that it's not a concept record. It's just an album of varied songs, varied instrumentation and intensity, which three of the four are the kind of keynote pieces for the album, but it doesn't make it a concept record. So he's saying they all have a certain flow to it, but it's just...
That's what we say.
I think that's what's kind of cool about this album, though, and about music in general, is that when we listen to it, we're like, this is one cohesive piece.
Right.
It's just like watching somebody's stand-up set. You watch their hour,
and you're like, that's a whole hour.
That's a whole hour, but it's literally this joke I wrote 5 years ago, this I wrote here, it just, you know, the way we fashion it.
We see what we want to see.
They don't want to hear
it's
that.
Okay.
All right.
Fuck that. That ain't my process.
So I got some stuff about the cover. Do we want to know about that, or are you guys interested, or... Are you?
We might have to go. We
you
might
have to go? Yeah, right. Then let's just do the final. Let's get us out of here, okay?
Yeah, sorry.
All right, so here we go. Okay. Final questions.
Yes.
How big is Ian Anderson's dick? No, I'm kidding.
About the size of a flute.
Favorite song on the record? Go.
Hymn 43. Locomotive Breath.
Favorite song on the album?
Yeah.
Maybe Cross-Eyed Mary.
Okay. Least favorite song on the record?
Jesus. I don't know. I would say Slipstream.
Yeah, that was what I was going to
pick. Slipstream or My God. Those are just not my jam.
Those ones. And then the other ones that aren't the four I love.
Maybe Up to Me. I don't know. Fine.
Jay?
How about Wind Up, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay,
fuck
great.
That song.
Those guys are dicks.
The album closer?
Yeah. Mother Goose?
Mother Goose. Okay, no, I'll take that. All right. My favorite question. What song on this record would you fuck to?
Oh God!
Oh!
Once again, Locomotive Breath. It gives you some motion.
That's right. I'd say Cross-Eyed Mary.
Locomotive Breath.
Locomotive Breath coming in at 4:23.
Yeah, that's all I need. Good. 3 minutes to spare to relax afterwards.
I'm wandering aloud coming in at 1:53.
I try to come before the song kicks in.
That's right. I come during the piano.
That's it. You finish there and you get to lay back.
Yeah.
All right, last song, last question. Does this deserve to be on the 500 Greatest Albums list? And main real question is, why is it important? And why is it important to be heard by a next generation?
It absolutely belongs on the 500 Greatest list. Absolutely. Ian Anderson was a truly musical genius doing something interesting and different. We haven't seen flute really come out since that point. Certainly in rock and roll, there does not exist. Rock and roll doesn't exist really anymore. So the fact that
Lizzo's the black Ian Anderson.
Right, sure. Sure. I've always said that about those two. It's hard to, I always mix the two of them up.
I dump my flute out.
So, but I mean,
dude, that's one time I gotta say this. What me and Jay were, he had an Airbnb and on La Brea, and we were stuck in the garage and we can't get out.
We should say while we're doing it, it's just that song was just playing a lot. I think in New York cabs it was always playing.
Yeah,
some sort of the commercial that was running.
Sure.
So I didn't even know Lizzo or anything. I just knew I put my hair on, check my nails.
So we're stuck in
we didn't know any of the words. We just knew how it went, and me and Josh you know, Josh is very a singy guy, so we just do that a lot when we're just bullshitting bored over the course of the day, and then we get stuck at the Airbnb's parking lot, and like the button for the gates
clicker won't work, yeah,
is not working, and we sit there for 15 minutes, and we're like, I don't know what to do, I don't even know who to call or what to do or anything. I go, one more, and I'm like, and just start opening, and we both go, I take my hair, check my nail, baby, I'm ready.
Jay, what do you think? I think it definitely
belongs on the list. Definitely should be heard by future generations. I believe this, you know, they were among the top bands that were making special music that, in my opinion, expanded beyond the bounds of what else was being made. That sort of, in my opinion, could last beyond that. Like time. If it came out today, it'd be super fucking cool. Yeah. If it'd be super indie and cool. If someone wrote Aqualung or a 6-minute and 30-second song, you'd be like, "What is that song? Why does SiriusXMU play it all the time?" Like, yeah. They'd be indie cool, and I think they're still cool. So I think it's worth listening to.
Yeah, I think they can't. Like my daughter, you know, you guys have kids too. You show music to them, sure. That's
all
like
the time.
That's one of those songs that pulls them. At like when they're younger, that pulls them out of just their music to go. It's like, okay, it's undeniable. That's a good way to call it. It's undeniable music, so you can play it. That's why I said it transcends. Tool's another band like that too. I've showed black friends. It doesn't matter. Like everyone likes. Do you know what I mean? Everyone, even if they're not that, if it's not their music at all, you go, that's pretty cool. And I think that it pulls like people into something. Goes, maybe I'll check out this kind of music. It got my daughter. That kind of music got my daughter not to be like afraid to listen to classic rock, that some of it might be pretty fucking cool.
I can't agree with you guys more. I can't believe I came into this record thinking I was going to hate it and immediately fell in love with it. This is a record that I'll continue listening to for the rest of my life. I think it's almost perfect aside from a few tracks. I can definitely hear who it influenced, and I love all of those bands. Mm-hmm. So I have to give this 4.2 fleeces out of 5.
Hey,
4.2. It's a couple tracks that are whatever, but the ones that are good are fucking bangers. Ladies and gentlemen, big round of applause for Randy Sklar, Jason Sklar, and Big Jay Oakerson. Thank you for coming out. You packed house.
Yes.
Sold out. Grab your pan flute on the way out.
Look under your seats. Everyone's got a pan flute. You get a pan flute. You get a pan flute.
What I tell you, the one and only Big Jay Oakerson on all social media at Big Jay Oakerson. Listen to The Bonfire. Listen to Legion of Skanks. Go to at Sklar Brothers on all social media and supersklars.com for their website. And listen to Dumb People Town. Listen to View from the Cheap Seats. Listen to everything they do. They're good friends of mine, and I love them. All right, listener shout out. Well, I kind of already gave it. David Steiner. I love you, David. Keep making that art, you old hippie. All right, new music this week. We got Bent Knee. They are really inspired by Jethro Tull, and you're listening to their song Invest in Breakfast off their new record, Frosting, from Take This to Heart Records. And you can find the links on the website, the500podcast.com. Next week, it's a special one. Radiohead, let's do it. In Rainbows. It's a biggie. Do your shit.
500, keeping it fleecy for the Fleece Nation on the 500.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.
Next Chapter Podcasts.